building for the ages. And as we're going to look at this tonight, we're going to find that there are times in our life that we don't always know or perceive what it is that we're doing and the effect that it'll have down the road. So let's start in the fifth verse of the fourth chapter. So he came to a town in Samaria. The he in our text is Jesus. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. I think I ought to go back and inherit that. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." As I read this passage, I have to ask myself the question, did Jacob know the impact that he would have by digging this well here in this town of Samaria? And equally, we may ask, do we know what impact our decisions today will have on others who follow after us? There are three observations I want to make with our time together. Number one, several observations, but before I make those three observations, let me make this statement. Many of the privileges and many of the benefits that we enjoy as ours are not by achievement of our own, but sometimes, oftentimes, by inheritance. Much like the children of Israel who inherited the promised land flowing with milk and honey, they lived in houses that they didn't build, they ate from the vineyards that they didn't plant, and they also drank from wells that they didn't themselves dig. And much like us here, right here in this sanctuary tonight, any that attend this church, you think about, some of you have no clue how this church got here. You have no idea the effort that was put into it. We have no idea who sacrificed to make it happen. We have no idea how it started and the people who started here. I don't know if there's anyone in this room who were some of the original founding members of this church, but somebody had a vision back in the early 70s that, or late 70s, that this would be a house of worship. And who would have known when they started that little church on the other side, which is now an educational wing, that it would grow to be this? And as we continue to grow and prosper what God puts our hands to here, in the future, who would have ever guessed? We perhaps will never be able to guess truly what God would do from this place here, Christian life. But spiritually, we're also enjoying many blessings that are ours because of our forefathers as well. You know, I think of just the musicians here tonight. That somewhere down the road, Sherry had to learn to play the piano, and she had to learn it from somebody. Brenda had to learn to play the piano. She had to learn it from somebody. And these singers had to learn to sing from somebody. I mean, there's somewhat of a natural gift, but when you start singing parts and all of that, and all the rest of the musicians that are here, how did that happen? It happened because someone before them passed on the torch of an inheritance to them. And there are several particulars I want to point out concerning the life of the builder of the well, which is casually mentioned in our text, by the way. When you read this text, how many thought the well would be the highlight of the story? the highlight of the story is Jesus and the fact that he meets this Samaritan woman and he tells her about her whole life, and the story goes on. But the well is just sort of one of those props that's there that nobody really noticed a whole lot in the story itself. Because as you read the text, it would be easy to miss the tribute that Jacob left behind. And that's where I want to focus our time tonight. And as we look at that well, the first point I want to make is Jacob's work has endured. It's endured a long time. And said, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Notice how casually that's placed in the scripture. Jacob's well was there. That may not mean much to us here today in 2008, but here is a reflection of the character of the one who built it. The fact that the well was still open and usable speaks of the character of the one who put all of those stones in place around the top of that well. I don't know about you, but I have an eye for details, sometimes to my fault. And I've noticed that sometimes I'm a little too perfectionistic when it comes to detail. But I like to go into new homes in particular, and when I go into the new home, I don't usually look at the furniture and all the furnishings, because sometimes those are the facade. But what I like to look at is the trim around a door or the trim around a fancy stairwell. I like to look at the little details and how the carpenter mortared those corners together. I guess mortar's the right word. I don't know. I'm not carpenter-ish in my jargon, but mitered. That's the right word. Thank you, Sherry. She's the carpenter expert back there. Mitered those corners. That's right. It's called a miter saw, isn't it? I was actually trying to think of that in my office, and I concluded to myself that it was called a mortar saw. But it's a miter saw. Okay, see, that's how much I know about it. So how to do it, I don't know all that. I just know that when it's done well, I can pick that out and spot that. I often do that in restaurants as well. When someone's redone a restaurant, I like to go and check out all the details of the trim wood and see if there's gaps in it. And what that says to me when I look at the job, I can tell about the character of the quality of the person by the detail that they took, the great lengths that they took to make it look precise. And when those houses look that way, I have to say to myself that someone who built that and they didn't take time to miter those corners together nicely, that somehow perhaps the character doesn't follow along with that. Ultimately, I think it has a lot to do with anybody's character or individual, any job that we do. Imagine 4,000 years ago when Jacob built that well. 4,000 years ago. How many know that's a long time? He built it through layers of stone. He built it 90 feet deep and approximately 8 feet wide. And they didn't have the augers or some of the machinery, you know, jackhammers and all of that that we have today. Jacob could have chosen a cheaper way to build a well. He could have skimped on how he put the stones together around the well. But its endurance tells us that we must take a look at a man who had great character, who put great detail and care into what he did. He could have, like the Bedouins of that day, that traveled around and would not dig wells. They'd simply go to a place where they found a pool of water and they would allow their livestock, their cattle, their sheep, whatever it might be, to drink all the water until it was gone and to eat all the grass in that area until it was down to the roots and even tearing the roots out. And then when it was all depleted and destroyed and nothing left for anyone to follow after them, they would go to another place. And by the way, there are many characters like that in life as well. People who come and they just soak up all there is to get where they're at. And once everything's gotten and all the energy's drained out of that location, then they go somewhere else and they soak it all up there as well. But Jacob was a different kind of guy. Here's a reflection of a greater wisdom than the builder ever realized as well. I'm sure Jacob had no idea that one day, think about this, one day, Jesus Christ would come, the Messiah, the one who he longed to see. The scripture says that those who were of old time longed for the promise and never received it. Longed for that day, but here's Jesus now drinking at that very well he dug. It's an amazing thought. I'm sure Jacob had no idea that would happen. And equally, we may never know when the Lord will call on us the things that we're building around our life. Think about the things you're building in your life every day as you go through the mundane part of life. Those things that you place into your life and that people around you are somehow receiving from you. And think about this, some of you that are Sunday school teachers. Week after week, students come to your class. Week after week, you prepare lessons. Are you preparing for that day? Are you preparing just to impart some kind of knowledge into those students? Are you preparing them for something that will last for eternity? Your children, are you just trying to get by today? Or are you saying, I want to build character in my children now so that they will have something that will last for eternity? It could be that in some of your Sunday school classes that there are great evangelists sitting there, or pastors of large churches someday, or governors or presidents for that matter. Who knows? But what God's given you the opportunity to build your well, if you will, around that people would be able to draw from it for years to come and build with character. I want to ask the question to parents here tonight, how are you building your children? One thing Debbie and I have noticed is you can't wait till they grow up to build godly principles and values into their life. It has to happen while they're young. The second thing I want to observe is Jacob's work has never ceased to be a blessing. Built 4,000 years ago and still to this day. If you went to that place in Samaria, you would be able to dig and drink from Jacob's well. Verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Again, just a casual statement thrown into our passage here. A woman that's obscure, doesn't even give us her name, just a woman from Samaria. She shows up and she's able to receive the blessing centuries after Jacob built the well. In verse 12, she calls Jacob our father. So there's a strong endearment to him even centuries later. The Samaritan woman was reflecting the gratitude of many generations who enjoyed the benefit of that well. And somewhere around 17 centuries had passed, and there they were, still going to Jacob's well and still drinking. Revelation 14 and 13 says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Catch that last phrase. For us, saints, our deeds will follow us. Are they the kind of deeds that people can look back from and from years later say, I was blessed because of that? Sometimes it's only when a life has been lived to its full length and is seen in perspective that it can be accurately appraised. It's kind of like being close to a fine painting. If you get up really close, you can see the strokes of the brush. You see the what we would consider maybe imperfections or what the artist really didn't want you to see. But you put that painting down and you step back from a distance from it and you see what the artist wanted you to see. He wanted you to see the colors. He wanted you to see the picture and the beauty of the picture, not all of the strokes of his brush. And so it is with our lives that people often don't see up close with us the blessing that we will leave behind. But someday we'll all be able to stand back. And someday people will be pulled away from your life. And they'll be able to point fingers and say, what a blessing. I thought the other day as Pastor Wiley was sitting over here and he had some friends from Wilmington, Delaware, or Lewes, Delaware, a church that he had pastored. That was a family who, while he was there, received a blessing. But now they're stepped back from the picture, if you will, and they're able to say, I remember the blessing. And they're still drawing from the blessing of a man who spent his life sacrificing and giving to someone. Or like the faithful course of the sun that comes up every day We don't have to call it. We don't have to make it happen. It just faithfully comes up and it faithfully sets. And it's usually at the sunset. Well, we always talk about the sun rises and sunsets, don't we? We don't say, oh, I can't wait to go see noonday. You know, we want to walk on the beach when it's sunrise. My wife loves the beach, and boy, when we're out somewhere close to the beach, a hotel or something, and she wants to be there when the sun's coming up, and she wants to be walking on the beach so she can enjoy the sunrise. She doesn't say, honey, I'm going to go down the beach and spend some time with God at noonday. But she wants the sunset or the sunrise. Why? Because at those times, we see a little different color or hue of the sun that we didn't see during the faithfulness of the rest of the day. And Jacob himself was not without reward. The satisfaction of a job well done is a reward in itself. And when we do things as unto the Lord, there's an added blessing to any of us. I think back on my college days. I think back on my days at McDonald's. I think back on my days when I worked in the dental lab. And all of those jobs that I did, whenever I worked. I had just had a personal thing inside of me. I don't know who planted it there, if it was God or I learned it from someone else. But something inside of me always said whenever I did a job, do this job as if you were the one who owned the company. And work as if you're doing it for the Lord. And when I had that mentality, I always took into consideration, if this was my business, how would I want someone to respond? How would I want someone to work if they were my employee? And I always had this thing inside me that I wanted to leave a job better than the way I found it. And on several occasions, I was able to practically do that. But that doesn't happen to be just in a job. I have that same mentality. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not patting myself on the back or bragging or in any shape or form. But I'm just telling you that as believers, this should be our character. That when I go to the bathroom, you could follow me to the bathroom anywhere, anytime. And when I leave that bathroom, I guarantee you that you will have found that I made that bathroom nicer than when I left, when I found it. Every time. There's not ever an exception. It's just because I believe God wants us to deposit that in life, in every shape and form. Imagine for years to come, those who may yet be unborn could benefit from your actions. They could produce fruit beyond our imagination because of something that you've done for the kingdom and the glory of God. A professor was approached after giving a lecture at a particular college. And this woman came to him and she said, "Sir, you will never believe what you have done for my life. You have changed, you saved my life." And he was taken back. He had never met the woman before, so he thought. And he said, "I don't understand." She said, let me explain. "Many years ago, you were just a seminary student. And I was in a hospital and I was dying. I had given up hope. Everything was around me was desperate. It was hopeless. And I gained from the story that perhaps she was having some mental breakdown and some mental illness. And she was at the point where she was just ready to give up. And she felt like she was on the edge, ready to just lose everything that she had in any kind of mental capacity at all. When this young seminary student came into her room. And he laid hands on her. And he prayed for her. And unbeknownst to him, there was something said in that prayer that clicked in her spirit. And she could feel herself being lifted out of that pit, that despair, that gripping that just pulls you down, 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 where there's no control over the mental capacity. And she felt herself being pulled out of that. And from that day on, she continued to gain her mental capacity back and gained health. And here he was, years later, now a grown man teaching at a university. And he received the blessing of something that he did. What he thought was something insignificant. We never know how we're going to impact people's lives. I'll guess for all of us here tonight that there will be many surprises like that when we get to heaven. I think of that song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." And how the story spins for us throughout that song, that many people have touched our lives. Bev, you never know how many of those children's lives you're impacting. Not just for today, not just for tomorrow, not till they just get out of children's ministry, but for the rest of their life, you're imparting things into their spirit. Pastor Adam, you'll never know how the consistent discipling of students, you'll impact them for eternity. And someday they'll look back and they'll say, I remember Pastor Adam. I remember that Pastor Bev. I remember that this one. I remember that one. Said something, they did something, they offered something, they expressed something, and for that I'm changed eternally. And the third thing is, Jacob's work brought comfort to the Lord Jesus. I just know that Jacob would have never thought when he was building that well that one day Jesus, can you imagine him 4,000 years before Jesus ever showed up at the well thinking, I'm going to place these stones so beautiful because I know one day Jesus is going to show up and I want Jesus to be impressed with my well. I can't imagine there, but truthfully, for all of us here tonight, that is the attitude we should have. That everything we do should be done for the glory of God. Verse 6 says, Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the wall, referring to the well. Jesus not only visited the well that his servant Jacob built, but he made practical use of the well as well. Jesus sat on the well and he received drink from the woman. It was this wayside well that eventually became a wayside pulpit for the Samaritans that the woman would invite back to see Jesus, the one who, come and see this man who has told me all that I've done. Remember how she was all excited about that? And she ran into the village and she went and told everyone that, come see this Jesus. And so what Jacob built to be a well soon became a pulpit for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes it clear that every good work done in his name will bring him comfort. I think of passages of scripture like Mark chapter 9. Verse 41 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. I noticed I didn't get a cup of water tonight. I did this morning, however, so whoever gave me the water this morning, John, I think that was you. So you get blessed because I'm one of the least of these. I had a leftover sip. Thank you. Matthew 25 and 40, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus said, you did it to me. Think of it. All of heaven is witnessing your humble services wherever you may be planted. And how you perform them is being recorded in the annals of heaven. I've always had that sense when I work, that somehow it makes a difference. I ask my wife, when I mow the lawn, I'm really anal about mowing my lawn. You know, it's just weird. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the least of which is not Jesus, watching us from there. Let us throw off everything that hinders the sin and so easily entangles, and let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us. Then 1 Timothy would go on to say, I charge you in the sight of God in Christ Jesus and the elect angels, keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Boy, people can pick favoritism out, can't they? Your kids can do it. You do it. We pick it out. But how much more that our Heavenly Father sees all, He hears all, He makes no mistakes, and He forgets absolutely nothing. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. This is one of the texts I used for a funeral this week. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Deb Shaw, when you're over there in Japan and you're reading these stories and teaching English to these Japanese kids. It's not just teaching English. Somehow God's using Shaw to impart some of Jesus Christ's presence into their lives. Brenda, when you're typing out bulletins and making all the things happen in the office, those endless phone calls that keep bombarding the office, and you answer every time with that sweet, beautiful voice, it's done in the name of Jesus. And somewhere, someday, somehow, God that's keeping record is making note of that, and we're impacting people's lives. All the flowers out front and weeds that get pulled out front, Sharon, that nobody else sees you do as you come through the week, God's seeing those. God's seeing those. John, the faithfulness of years put into men's ministry and Sunday school, making sure the curriculum's there. Nobody else knows all of the hassle of that and putting teachers in place. But God's watching. God's watching the faithfulness. Sonny, the years and years of pouring into young people here in this church and giving and sacrificing, and the times that you've come and plowed and haven't received even money sometimes for your work. God sees all of those. And Leroy, he was here this week running wires, trying to figure out why lights went out in this place. All of these things that we do, the food pantry, Darlene, Darrell, we could go on for all of us here tonight. When we labor in the Lord, it's never done in vain. June, the many people you're touching through MOPS, all of those ladies that are coming through, they're watching and observing you, but they're seeing Christ in you. And as we labor, we labor for the Lord, and our labor is not in vain. There's a children's poem, and it says this: build it well where'er you do, whate'er you do. Build it straight and strong and true. Build it tall and build it broad. Build it for the eyes of God. That's just a great little poem. When Jacob lay on his deathbed, it wasn't the wells or it wasn't his wealth that he remembered, but it was the awesome night at Bethel that he remembered. Now, you and I won't remember all of these things we do here on earth, but one thing I hope we don't forget in our journey with Jesus is the time that we had a confrontation with him. By the way, some of the greatest confrontations aren't necessarily the salvation confrontation. Sometimes God does deep things in our life along the journey. They're signposts, they're ways, they're deposits of his presence where he divinely said, now's the time, this needs to be changed in your life. And he just has an encounter for you where he radically moves a direction in your life, and an attitude, a character, whatever it might be. But there was Jacob looking back to the Genesis 28th passage when he had that confrontation with Jesus. In Genesis 48, verse 3, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there it was that he blessed me. It was the work that Jacob did with God that gave everything he did eternal significance. Catch that. It was the work that Jacob did with God that put the stamp of eternal significance on it. So we have to ask ourselves, am I laboring for the Lord? So it is as we build with God. You and I, we're building for the ages. We're building for eternity. We're building for a generation that hasn't been born yet. It's so easy for a church to be ingrown and think, what can I do for me? What can this church give me? But God help us to look for generations to come and say, what can we build to leave for those who are still coming behind us? What kind of legacy are we leaving for them? Do they have the legacy that Jacob left for those thousands of years later? Most men are forgotten. Not too long after they're born. Are dead. And here's Jacob, 4,000 years, and this woman, this Samaritan woman, still spoke affectionately of him. Would to God that we could have that kind of spiritual impact on somebody that years later we'd be able to say, because of God, my life left an eternal legacy for someone to grab a hold of and be part of. As I was speaking tonight, I know with a message like this, some of you were, your mind was going all over the place. You were thinking of all kinds of things in your own life. You were thinking of ways that you could have or should have. Things you wish you had done differently. And we can always do the woulda, coulda, shoulda thing. But let's just do the can thing. This is what I can do right now. I can set a resolve in my heart that what I do, I'm going to do is unto the Lord, so that all who come behind me will find that I was faithful and receive the blessing that those did. The blessing of Jacob's labor, his toiling. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Father, we thank you for Jacob's life. But in this room, there are Jacobs here. Oh, they may not be named Jacob, but they're leaving legacies behind that will have an impact like Jacob. There are many in this room have given countless hours. I think of our missionette leaders that are here tonight that week after week are investing in those young girls' lives, our rangers and Sunday school, and the list goes on. People who are just faithfully week after week, month after month, year after year, plodding away, building intentionally, strategically, specifically. Father, I ask that what we put our hands to would not be shoddy, would not be quick, would not be flippant in what we present to others, but it would be precise. It would be that which demonstrates a deep-seated character that wants to please our Heavenly Father. I ask, Lord God, as we build for the ages, this church here, as we build, that you would give us grace and wisdom, that you would give us an impartation freshly of the Holy Spirit tonight and each day of our life. As Paul said, keep being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Father, we need a fresh filling tonight. Maybe there's some here tonight that have along the way have built less precisely. They have put things together in a quick fashion without any thought or directive for the future. God, I pray from this day forward that you would change our mind, our attitude, change our direction, change where it is we're going, change where it is that we set our sights on, change it so that all that we have within us reflects the grace and the goodness of God. And God will thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just have the worship team come back and let's close tonight with a few songs together.